All right, welcome to TheRealNewsDaily.com presents The Real Big Show. I'm your host, senior writer Michael Petrelli. My co-host for the evening, editor-in-chief of Real News Daily, Melissa Hansen. Melissa, how are you?
Hey, good to have you.
Back from the
beer.
Back from, yeah, I'm sure it is after your lovely screening. And the master of the Picking Brain Universe and producer of the upcoming thriller, There Is a Place, Brad Slayton. Brad, what's going on?
Not much. It's in 3D. You forgot 3D.
Oh, in 3D. Excuse me. Yep, so 3D. The Oscar nominations came out last week, and what way to kick it off the Oscar season but to talk about all those wonderful, wonderful actors and actresses that came and went and went and went down the list and now are working at a video store somewhere like Cuba Gooding Jr. But I figured, why not talk about some of the hits of these perfectly wonderful people and their careers after they won said Oscar. So I thought I'd bring this to the table tonight for a few reasons. One, Jeremy kind of set me off this week with his American Sniper tirade and the lack of substance that he believes the film merited in getting Oscar nominations. Now, we've seen this time and time again with films, but we've really rarely ever talked about it with actors and actresses. People that have won an award because they hit a stride, kind of like some sports teams do on their way into the playoffs. And then we wind up with people that win awards and then they kind of disappear. So I was kind of wondering from both of you, is winning an award the pinnacle? Or is it just a nice little cherry on top of a career? Because some of these careers have really hit the skids. Bradley.
I think for certain people, it's a career. It all depends on what kind of actor or actress you are and why you're in it. Like some people, like Daniel Day-Lewis, I think it's just a nice thing, you know?
Well, this is true, but I think what we're talking about is people that really have kind of disappeared. So why don't we just kind of dive into some of these people that we've recognized for years and years and years, showed up and won an Oscar and then kind of disappeared. I think the most recognizable person, Melissa, would be Cuba Gooding Jr. for Jerry Maguire. Really went straight downhill with movies like Boat Trip and good Lord, some of the other things he's made. But he was never able to kind of show him the money after he won the Oscar. Why do you think that happened for him?
You know, it could. There's probably a number of reasons, you know, could be personal reasons. You can never, but I mean, just to speculate, just I don't think he made the correct choices, or he maybe decided to take a break or something. It could, I mean, I'm sure that like, even when you're nominated, you probably suddenly get tons of offers.
Right.
And you're probably inundated with all kinds of stuff and you're like, wow, I can do anything now. And some people really focus, really like go for that. And it kind of shows you where they want to be in your career. I don't think he really knew what he wanted to be in his career. I think he just took the job as another job. And it probably just surprised him to be nominated, and he just kept just making movies. It seems like he just makes movies to support himself and to not necessarily go for another Oscar. You know, I mean, you don't see him in independent movies. You don't see him in, you know, things that he's trying to develop his craft or anything like that. So I think he's just a sort of a guy who's probably just like, hey, I'm a working actor. I like to work. I like to make money. And, you know, he takes some jobs here and there, but, he probably just did not make the right decisions.
So this is interesting. This is interesting you brought this up, because I actually was hoping that you would get there with him. So you think he lucked into Jerry Maguire? Like it was a job, and they just wound up doing his job, and then it wound up being something that he wound up getting recognized for. But he just continued on his career, making what he wanted to do, which is movies like Rat Race and Men of Honor and Snow Dogs and stuff, just to keep a career going. But he wasn't really looking to make anything more of himself.
That's my thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I mean, Brad, do you have anything to say about Cuba?
I agree. I look at it as the fact that it was a Cameron Crowe film. And the same thing happens with all Cameron Crowe films. I mean, Billy Crudup was huge after Almost Famous, you know?
Very good point, yeah.
And people like that, you know? I mean, what's Kate Hudson really done, you know, awesome performance-wise?
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's... He does, Cameron Crowe does that with all of his films, you know, so it's more of just lucking into a great role. You know, you could have put any generic actor in there and they probably would have been nominated.
So you're saying if Cameron Crowe had directed Daddy Daycare, Cuba Gooding Jr. would have won for playing Charlie Hinton?
He could have, because it would have been a significantly different movie.
Okay. I got no issues with that, you know. I love me some Daddy Daycare.
There would have been Eddie Murphy.
Oh. He was in there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the lead.
He was the guy.
He was.
So.
Well, here's an interesting one that I kind of came up with on the fly last night. Somebody that made herself popular through another avenue, which was American Idol, and actually went on and won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress in Dreamgirls, Jennifer Hudson. Here's an interesting one, because I wonder if, again, we go back to this Cuba Gooding Jr. where I just kind of really want to just continue on my career. I'm wondering if she just kind of wound up in getting this actor job, but she just wants to continue to be a musician. Where do you fall with Jennifer?
I think it's a mixture of things with music and, like, I don't know. Wasn't it right before the Oscars, like, half of her family was murdered by a family member?
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Right around there.
That's very true.
A huge tailspin. And then, I mean, it's kind of like that messes with people's heads, you know? So,
yeah, and I think.
Honestly, for a minority who's not really an actor and is more of a singer, how many choice roles are there being made in the Hollywood machine for those type of actresses?
And where was she going to go after that? I mean, that was her first role. I mean, you win the Oscar in your first role. Where are you going with there? I mean, not
the champagne and call it a day.
I mean, pretty much. I mean, you go on and, I mean, the most you can do is hope for that best actress and maybe whatever. But, I mean, you win an Oscar in your very first role. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me. But she's not the first one, and probably will not be the last one to wind up having that happen to her. You know, and then you have small child actors. I mean, I remember just a small young boy. It's a long time ago, and I'm dating myself, but that little child from Kramer versus Kramer in 1980, Justin Henry, the little boy was 8, I think he was, and won the Best Supporting Actor. I mean, disappeared. I mean, I think he was the little brother in 16 Candles, if anybody remembers 16 Candles.
Oh, wow.
But funny enough, I think that was his, literally, I think that was his only other role. Actually, I'm checking it as I'm speaking. I think it may have been one of his only other memorable roles. And yeah, he's done like bit pieces here and there, but nothing really spectacular. But yeah, he was Mike Baker in 16 Candles.
Spending that much time in a room alone with Getty Wanatabi can do that to you.
Well, here's another girl, 8 years old. What's her face? The girl that, no, she was 13. Was she 13? Yeah. The girl from Whale Rider. It was only, what, a decade ago that movie came out? Keisha Castle Hughes?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody remember what? No, just kidding.
I know. Unfortunately, I just didn't see it.
No. It's one of those films where I think, you know, I think young actresses, like, you know, I actually said this about Jennifer Lawrence when she was up for nomination for Winter's Bone. It was like, wow, this young girl is being nominated for the first time in her career. And I wonder where it's going to take her. Is she going to be an independent? Is she going to make something with us? And she seems to be one of the ones that actually uses it to catapult her career. Some people, I'm not sure that they are ready for that kind of, you know, could the Oscar experience ruin somebody's career, you think?
I think so. I think, not even the Oscar experience, but you think of Chris Evans. I mean, that's a guy who did not expect to be a superhero.
Right.
Never really particularly wanted to do it in that sort of a thing. It kind of fell into it in a lot of ways. And he's had a hard time dealing with it. He's doing very well now. You know, I'm sure he's had a lot of people helping him.
Right.
But I think it can. I mean, I think in the case of Jennifer Lawrence, you know, you make a really good point because, you know, she has gone on to do stuff. But I think that was also a combination of her personality because, you know, yes, she did a great performance, but everybody fell in love with her after the Oscars.
Yep.
Because during the Oscars, she was, you know, she did Tripped and she was just super, like, relatable. And, you know, I think her making the appearances and everything, that made her career. It wasn't the Oscar itself.
Interesting. So you think it was her down-to-earth ability to make her feel like everybody could be her best friend that led to her career and maybe not necessarily the Oscar itself. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with her, her getting the Oscar because it was a fantastic performance. And, you know, she's also done, you know, a fantastic job in everything else she's been in. So she's living up to her own standards. But I think if the internet didn't exist and TV didn't exist, it wouldn't have done anything for her.
Here you go. Here's one that I was thinking about earlier, and I think I mentioned this to Brad. Halle Berry, you know, somebody who went from Monsters Ball, which was, I mean, let's be honest, one of the best movies that came out in a long time, or at least her performance was, to Catwoman. I mean, maybe it's a situation where her people aren't putting her in the right places. Could that be?
Oh, totally.
You know, it's like, let's cash in. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can really make it your own. You know, you can make this, you know, and then she gets on set one day and they see this ridiculous outfit. She's like, seriously? And then and someone says to her, well, you're going to make a shitload of money off of this. And she's like, all right. You know, I mean.
Brad, you're a big fan of that movie.
What?
Catwoman.
I've actually never seen it.
Well, I think you should be happy that you've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't. She just never started, like I was saying, with like people like Daniel Day-Lewis, where it's, you know, and Gary Oldman, where they're acting to act. Like, she's just never struck me as someone who loves to act. It's just kind of like, sure, I'm hot, I can do this.
You know,
I totally agree. That's kind of the thing. I think she was fantastic in Monsters Ball, and I think it was a great role, and she totally deserved the Oscar. But I mean, in a lot of ways, do you really deserve an Oscar for one performance? Like, it's almost as if it should be like
multiple
some sort of cumulative thing, or I don't know. But well, there's no way to really measure, so there's not really a way to do that.
That's where I, you know, you mentioned cumulative and everything, and that's where I think two actors that have won Oscars that fell off after their Oscar win are Marlon Brando and Al Pacino. Like,
oh yeah,
they won their cumulative Oscars essentially because Brando got screwed for years. You know, he won for was it On the Waterfront On the Waterfront.
Yeah,
and then. You know, all those, I think he lost like four others and then one for The Godfather. And then it was all pretty much downhill, fat, bloated Brando. And then Pacino wins for Son of a Woman, which is far from his best performance. And it's all just been yelling, screaming Al Pacino parody ever since.
Well, you remember actors like some foreign actors, and I wonder if the actor that won for The Artist, or did he win for The Artist, or was he just nominated for The Artist?
Oh yeah.
I think he was just nominated, wasn't he?
Okay.
I don't think he won. I think he was just nominated.
Jean Dujardin, I believe his name.
Jean Dujardin. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think of the guy who, he won two Oscars for Life is Beautiful.
Roberto Benigni.
He came back with, I think he made Pinocchio, which was awful.
Yeah.
A couple of years later, and then he tried to come back and do The Tiger in the Snow, which was a failed look at a Gulf War romance, which just not a good – I don't think it was the right time for something like that. But he's kind of disappeared from the planet. I mean, it's – I don't know. I thought he had some promise, if you ask me.
It's still big overseas, though. Like, he's made movies that haven't been released in the U.S., but they're big overseas. It's like – God. He just kind of said, screw the U.S.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of those foreign actors can just go home. I think, person that I think of that bucked the trend would be Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a misstep with Green Hornet, but he's definitely got back on the right track. So that's, it's very exciting for that.
Yeah.
You know, someone I was thinking of was Mira Sorvino.
Yes.
And remember how much promise she had? And, you know, she won the Oscar for Mighty Aphrodite. And, you know, it was kind of like, oh, we're going to see great things from her. And she's sort of dropped off. I mean, she still does a lot of independent movies, but it doesn't seem to be her life.
Yeah. Well, I think she went to TV for a while, didn't she? I believe.
She
did an NBC TV show, didn't she, I believe?
I think it was David Caruso and Jade.
Oh, my God.
David Caruso.
Yeah, was a horrible, horrible movie. Like, there was so much hype around Jade, you know, because right after she won the Oscar.
Right, it was.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, this movie's NC-17. Oh, my gosh, what are they going to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, God. One, why is this NC-17? Two, this is horrible, you know? And I just always picture her as Paul Sorvino's kid. Like, it's just kind of
Didn't I ever put that together? Holy cow, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's just a famous actor's kid that acted.
That's why Angelina Jolie changed her name.
the one that gets me, the actress-wise, is Helen Hunt. I can't ever figure out why she didn't do more films.
Hmm.
She's going to be in Batman versus Superman, my friend.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe she's playing Robin. Who the hell knows? Someone's playing Robin, I'm sure.
Well, Gina Davis won, and then she did... I mean, just Dread, like Long Kiss Goodnight and crap like that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Costner won, and then he went off and did The Postman, for Christ's sake.
I love The Postman.
Yeah, me too, every time he delivers my packages. Like my screeners. Yeah, baby! Anyway.
What about, like I was thinking of a more recent one, like even Russell Crowe. I mean, he was on a hot streak there for a while. You know, he had The Insider, which everybody really... Oscar for, and he didn't win. The next year he had Gladiator and he won, basically for The Insider, but he did really awesome in Gladiator, but it was clearly for the movie previously, which was so weird. And then he made Body of Lies and a couple other what was that? 3 days or something like that.
The next three days.
Yeah. The next 3 days, which were okay. But nothing special. And then Noah, I guess, was supposed to be his big thing, and that was total fail. And even Robin Hood, which had semi-buzz behind it, that fell flat on its face.
Right.
So he's totally went the opposite direction at this point.
Yeah. Well, he was the Buffalo Bills of the Oscars for a while, because he got nominated for A Beautiful Mind and Gladiator.
Right, yeah.
And there was another film that with Ron Howard in there that he didn't get. Nominated for two, he had a couple chances, but he was like a one for guy. Like when Affleck and Damon won Best Original Screenplay in 98.
Yeah.
Like neither one of them, they're standing there like, hey, we're actors, but we won for screenplay. Yay. Like, it's probably a cool moment for them, but it's like, you know, I'm pretty positive that was probably one of those moments that Affleck was like, well, fuck this shit. I'm going to win for something else other than this fucking writing this, you know, story about my time in Boston or whatever the hell the real premise of that story was, since I've heard many, many rumors about Good Will Hunting and what it was really about. But
maybe he'll win for Batman versus Superman there, Michael.
Oh, I probably doubt it. How about your Tusk buddy, Haley Joel Osment?
Oh.
Because he won for Best Supporting Actor for this. Or no, he was nominated for The Sixth Sense.
The one that always gets me that I really thought she would do, like, have a career comeback after winning was Kim Basinger. Like,
oh, right.
She won for, oh my God. Christ, my mind blanked. LA Confidential.
Yeah.
Like, she was awesome, and now she's just in crap. It's like, wow, how did that happen? Like, you're blonde, you're beautiful, and you win an Oscar and you disappear.
Well, here you go.
So crazy.
Are there any Oscar nominations this year that could be one and doners?
Let's see. That's a good point.
I'm wondering if we have anybody that we may. Like J.K. Simmons. I mean, could you see him getting nominated again after this? I mean, great,
absolutely.
Great actor, yeah, but I mean,
will directors cast him?
Sure, yeah, but exactly. It's this, like, will he get his chance?
He's been around forever. He is amazing in everything he's in.
Right.
The problem is he's too amazing in everything he is. He almost has like the Christopher Lloyd sort of a syndrome where he's like so good that nothing stands out because everything is so good.
Right.
And I mean, and it's not like his performance in this was anything better than anything else he's ever done. It just had a higher profile. And so more people saw it, more people, you know, were able to grab onto it. And it was a lead role. He hasn't ever had a real lead role.
Right. Well, I mean, this could be Michael Keaton's one and only chance. I mean, this is the first and only time he's ever been nominated for an Academy Award.
Totally.
I mean, you're talking about another guy like Eddie Redmayne. I mean, young actor. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, does he have another chance at something? Perhaps. I mean, I think Benedict Cumberbatch and Bradley Cooper are going to be mainstays for, you know, the next 20 to 30 years. We'll probably see them in and out of actor nominations. But again, I think somebody like Steve Carell, this could be his only chance.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be his only chance.
I don't know about, because Steve Carell has he's a really good dramatic sense. Like a lot of really funny people do.
Right.
And I think, I mean, just look at his performance in Little Miss Sunshine. That was amazing. And I mean, I'm sure he got nominated. If it wasn't for an Oscar, it was something. But he was fantastic in that. So I think there's hope for Steve Carell. I don't see him as a one and done.
So you think we're going to see him again on the podium? Maybe not win, but definitely be nominated again.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
He'll play Joe Biden, and they'll put a fake chin on him. You know, and he'll get nominated for the fake chin.
Oh my God! I don't even know how to respond to that. Well, I'll bring somebody up because I wonder if you feel the same way. Rosamund Pike.
One and done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking that this might be her only chance. She's obviously has way too much competition, but fantastic role in Gone Girl, one that we'll probably remember for years as being the one that didn't win. But I think people like, you know, we'll probably see Reese Witherspoon again. I think we'll probably see Julianne Moore again. Felicity Jones, I don't know.
I think Felicity Jones, we'll see her again. She's done a lot of lower profile stuff.
Right.
So I see her as this is a career notch and a stepping stone for her.
Okay. Where the opposite of, you know, I think somebody, just to flip it back to the supporting roles, I think somebody like Patricia Arquette, she's going to walk away with the Oscar this year, most likely, and this will probably be it. I think I saw the other day she's starring in CSI Cyber on CBS.
What?
Yeah, apparently they're like Academy Award nominee, Patricia Arquette.
I got to set my DVR for that.
See, okay. For her, it's a bump in pay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now she can demand more money.
Well, will she get more roles, though?
I think she can have whatever roles she wants. I mean, the problem is that there's not enough roles. That's sort of the issue. I mean, she was fantastic in Boardwalk Empire. And, you know, I think if she gets more sort of things like that, I think, you know, I mean, she could have every opportunity. But, you know, then again, maybe she, you know, you have to remember, too, you know, these are just people. So, you know, sometimes it's better for someone to take a TV role than a movie role, because a TV role is a steady paycheck. You know what you're doing every day. And you know, you have a schedule. And you get, you know, it gets down, you work with the same people all the time, and it's just a whole different animal. I mean, a movie, you work on it for 3 months, and then you're done, and you go on to something else.
Right.
And you don't get a chance to really make real attachments, you know, or things. And, it, you know, it may be better money or whatever, but, you know, you still have to look for the next gig. So it could just be stability that she just wants to go into television. You know, if I were her, I'd be like, yes, sweet, I got an Oscar. Awesome. Now let me go make some money and enjoy the rest of my life.
I have no problem with her doing that. I mean, I think, you know, walking away from the experience of Oscar, and I'm sure that she's probably been, I read an article about with Ethan Hawke saying now he's taken Ella Coltrane and Richard Linklater's daughter, the two young stars from Boyhood, and is taking them under his wing during Oscar season, because he's been through it before, to kind of show them the do's and don'ts of how things go, so that they don't get themselves overwhelmed like some other young actors have with being a part of that experience and then not knowing what to do with yourselves after it's done. So
that's fantastic. I mean, it's like a little mentorship program.
Yeah.
Fantastic. A little
drug mentorship program. Don't go into drugs, kids. Don't do drugs. Well, and then the flip side of the older actors, I mean, you know, this could be a situation where we see Robert Duvall in one of his last Oscar shots. And, you know, he's been nominated before, I'm sure. I'm sure if we go down a list of what Robert Duvall has done in his lifetime, I'm pretty sure.
If he's not a winner, it's a travesty.
This year or overall?
I think he won for Paul.
No, I mean previously. I mean, if he's not a previous Oscar winner, that's
yeah, he won. He won in for Tender Mercies in 1983.
Okay, then he's totally not going to win this year.
No, but we'll see an Ed Norton again. We'll see a Mark Ruffalo possibly again. Emma Stone, Meryl Streep.
I don't know if you'll see Ed Norton again. Like, he's such a volatile, like, personality. Like, I think he would have to find someone who agrees with him. He seems to really have trouble getting along with people.
Well, this is just...
I don't see him necessarily. I think if he would be nominated again, it would be sort of a happenstance or something almost, because he doesn't work regularly either, really.
I think his best chance was American History X to win.
Mm.
I think there'll be a performance in his career. He'll pull something out of his ass at some point in time. He's that good of an actor. He might be a pain in the ass to work with, but there's plenty of pains in the ass to work with in Hollywood.
He'll pull a Jack Palance at age 75.
Yeah, something. He's got to do something.
City Slickers remake.
No, but I think we've really narrowed down that we're only looking at maybe one or two one and doneers from this crop of Oscars. But, you know, we go back to, you know, just kind of skipping back into a quick look down at some of the other one and doneers in the past. I mean, it was roles, dramatic roles performed by actors like that gentleman from the Hunger Games, or the Crying Game, excuse me, the Hunger Games. Two different movies, Crying and Hunger, but The Killing Fields and Here's my question. I have one. Will Mickey Rourke ever win anything?
I think he will if he gets the right director. I mean, don't get me started. Sean Penn should not have won, but
Milk was good.
So he didn't win for The Wrestler?
He didn't win for The Wrestler, no.
That's what he lost to Sean Penn?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we may be talking about him on this list.
Yeah, that had to be a really tough year to do that. Oof.
Well, here's my – with those two films, I think he's – Mickey has – he's got the Ned – he's the first Ed Norton, for God's sakes. I mean, he's really caused himself some major issues in this Hollywood world. So I'm not exactly sure that he's set – I guess I would say oblivious or look, he's allowed to have a lot of criticism. Let's put it that way. He's done a lot for himself to screw himself over. So will he ever get another chance? I think that The Wrestler was his chance. Will we see him again? I don't know. After seeing some of these shit ass movies he's making lately, I highly doubt it.
Yeah. I agree with, you know, I think that was his chance and he's probably like, fuck this. I'm not doing that again. Because can you imagine how much he had to fucking really go for that?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He had to do press and he was everywhere for a while. I mean, he really, really tried to go after it.
I thought he really thought he had it too.
And then, of course, they gave it to Sean Penn, who probably didn't lift a finger to do any sort of promoting.
He just saved a rainforest, is all.
Exactly.
All right, out of all the people that you can think of, all the one-and-doners, who's the most memorable one-and-doner that you can think of?
Louise Fletcher.
Ooh. Damn, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I mean,
you trumped us all, man. That was a good one.
I take the trophy.
Can't you put that one last, man? Come on. build that up. Well, tell people what it is.
You don't know who she
is.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Oh, my gosh. Watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Okay, so who would be a close second? Let's put that.
Man, you just pulled that one just at us. Wow.
Yeah. It's been in my head for years. I'm like, when can I mention Louise Fletcher on a podcast?
How about Maureen Stapleton?
That's a good one, too. How about this? If you win an Oscar young, does it screw up your career later? Or does it feel better to win an Oscar later and screw up your career after that? I'm wondering how it correlates, because we've seen now that young girl that was in Beast of the Southern Wild. We've seen the little girl that was in Well Rider. Moderate career for the girl from Beast in the Southern Wild. No career for the girl from Whale Rider. We mentioned
Anna Paquin doing True Blood now.
God, that's awful. Well, that's canceled.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, sure, not anymore. Thank God, it's over.
She's got a happy life, though. Yes. You know, I'm sure she's content. She'll wait for the next X-Men movie.
That'll never come. The call will never come. as a matter of fact, I think there's a cut of Days of Future Past coming out called the Rogue Edition, just because it has more Rogue in it. Anna Paquin will get her day in the sun. Her day in the sun. So we're going to say that we've successfully looked back at the one and doners of the Oscar season. Some of them had memorable roles and some of them have had not so memorable careers, but each of them has stood the test of time and their films will forever be engulfed in this wonderful world of Oscar. So, one last topic for the evening, just because it was brought up this week, and I know, Melissa, you haven't seen the shows, but I still want to bring you into the conversation real quick. So Fox announced this week that they were thinking about bringing up a few other TV shows back from the grave, X-Files being the most prominent, 24 less Jack Bauer, so no Kiefer Sutherland, and a more curious choice of bringing back a show where the star was killed, Prison Break. Your thoughts on the shows, Brad? I'll start first.
All right, let's go X-Files. I say forget X-Files, bring back Millennium. If you're with that charge, you can go to Facebook. Back to Frank Black, they've actually started a campaign and they have a book and all this stuff. So check that out on Facebook. 24, nah, I'd rather see Fox. Fox is bringing back the wrong shows and he'd bring back shows like Herman's Head.
You know? King of the Hill.
Yeah, Herman's Head and King of the Hill. You know, bring back Herman's Head, bring back Unhappily Ever After. You know, I mean, come on.
Almost Human. Break.
Do what?
Almost Human, you fuckers. You ruined it. Yeah. It was such a good show.
Yeah, they just don't know what they're doing. And Prison Break is just blah. I don't get it. I mean, I'm not into dudes, so I'm not going to watch a bunch of dudes. If I'm going to watch a show about a bunch of dudes in prison, I'm going to watch Oz.
That's a good point.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Well, I'll ask you, Melissa, because you hadn't seen these shows. What could possibly be the point of bringing back shows that are a decade old that have probably had their fan bases move on? Well, maybe not X-Files. But what's the point of bringing back three shows, and especially one? I guess you'd have to replace the stars of two. What would be the saving grace of these things?
You know, I mean, it always comes down to the reason they did this is because they know they have a fan base. So they want to capitalize on it because there's nothing new that's coming out for this huge amount of fan base. So they're obviously just trying, you know, hey, they're trying to make some more money. And, you know, maybe they're, you know, trying to give people more of what they want. And there's they know there's going to be a lot of people who don't like it. But there's going to be – they're going to – it's a win-win no matter what. So even if 95% of the people hate it, that's still 5% of people do, and that's 5% more of people that did before. So no matter what, they're going to make some sort of money. They're going to do something after it. The problem is that the shows were not reliant upon the stories. They were good because of the people who played the characters.
Exactly.
It was a combination of factors. Like, I think that's what. And, you know, granted, I'm sure they know this. You can't create magic, you know. Well, sometimes you can create magic more than once, you know, just by luck. But, you know, most of the times you're not going to get the same thing out of it, you know. So they're throwing the dice and they're going to be like, all right, let's try this and see what happens. Because, I mean, it'd be stupid to think you could recreate something like that.
I'm just really curious why they would think that Jack replacing Kiefer Sutherland in a show that they just brought back for a limited series with 24 Die Another Day, which actually wound up being a pretty large success for Fox, why they would think that it would be a smart idea to replace the main character in the show. Didn't they learn nothing
because
from
the main
Bourne?
Character, it probably demands a huge amount of money and it's blowing their profit margin. So they're like, all right, well, let's try something else and let's replace Kiefer Sutherland. He's not that integral. I mean, honestly, he wasn't fantastic in that. I mean, he was good. But, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you find a younger kid and you're going to get a younger audience.
Mm. Yeah.
It's all about money.
Yeah. And
unfortunately, it's just all about money.
Well, and then the spoiler alert, they kill the main character in Prison Break at the last episode.
Wow. So, thanks, Michael.
Where are you going to go with that? Well, you don't know which main character. There's like
Is that really four awesome of them. Character actor kill him?
I'm not going to say what happens, but seriously, you have one of the main characters, one of the main reasons why they broke the fuck out of prison, for Christ's sake, and you kill him. What are you going to do with the show?
You know what? Prequel.
Oh, Jesus. How are you going to prequel? Oh, Jesus.
You know what? That's a great idea, Melissa. They're younger brothers, and it's starring Robert Pattinson and Shia LaBeouf. You know?
Look at that
name. And they break out. They break out of juvenile detention.
I was going to say elementary school break. They have to break out of first grade. Break out of detention.
Will Rider can be a middle schooler.
And the principal is Judd Nelson.
Oh my God!
I'm in. Is Emilio the gym teacher?
He listen, Fox, this one is for free, bitches. Yeah. So that's all I got. Anybody else got anything? I'm rolling Snake Eyes right now.
Ooh, that's a good movie.
It is a delirious.
It is a good movie.
What about Nicolas Cage? Wow, his career went down the shitter after he won an Oscar, didn't it?
You know, that's another guy who clearly loves to work. And well, I think the same thing happened with Leaving Las Vegas. I don't think he took that role to win an Oscar. I think he took that role because it was a challenge and it looked like it would be something totally different than what he'd done. And so he took it. And then he won, you know, did he win or did he nominate it? I'm terrible when it comes to that.
He won.
Okay, I mean, well, yeah.
Being, you know, up close and personal with Elizabeth Shue doesn't hurt, you know, when you're taking the role.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but, I mean, he has to work. He's bankrupt, you know?
Yeah, he's got to pay off those taxes.
You can't build, like, a shrine to Superman and Elvis and still have money.
Craziness. Well, next week, we're going to start a new topic, which will be probably centered around February movies, because February is a mind dump for shit movies from Hollywood to just say, you know what, Oscar season's over. You fuckers aren't going to watch this shit anyway. So here you go, 50 Shades of Grey.
But well, yeah. And plus, you've got Halloween. So you're basically just cashing in on the romance.
Yeah. That's just
like, all right, we got to put some movies out so people can take their fucking girlfriend out for a date.
I just saw something, and I was going to bring it up a little earlier for you, Melissa. I saw that the Today Show is covering the premiere of that show, and it's at 7:30 in the morning on Friday the 6th in New York City. And all
covering the premiere of what?
50 Shades of Grey. 7:30 in the morning. You know that every fucking woman in the world is leaving her house at 3 in the morning or midnight or sleeping outside, whatever, just to get first spot to give to that fuckfist.
You know, I mean, to borrow an expression, I just hate that they didn't go full walrus on this thing.
Thank God.
Oh, no, I can't escape a show.
That would be full tampon, would it not?
You ruined it.
Sorry. But, hey, I went full walrus on it, though, you know?
Yeah.
I need to put that one on the board.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the board.
Oh, it's going to go to the board.
You know?
Well, we want to wish Liz a very get well soon. Hopefully she feels better soon. Hopefully we can fix whatever problems she's got going on with that neck of hers. We love you. Hopefully you feel better.
We miss Jeremy too.
Ah, fuck that guy. He's watching.
He's busy watching the Scorpion King 4.
Scorpion King 4. Because of me. You're welcome, Jeremy. Anyway, for Michael, I'm Melissa, and Brad, and I'm Melissa, and I'm Brad, and I'm Michael. And they're Melissa and Brad. And we will see you next week. See ya.
Bye.
No lion walrus.